home. I have a really nice office at home. It's a pretty large office. And it's my area where I just pray a lot in the Holy Ghost. And I just walk around that, and I speak God's blessings over myself, over my family, over you guys, right? Okay, and I do a lot of praying in the Spirit. And I have this, I had three plants in my office that just literally thrive in my office. And so I was thinking about it, right? Of course. And so it brought to my memory a story in the Bible. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11. And y'all are probably familiar with this story. It's when Uzzah, so David has peace with all of his enemies around him. And so on all sides. And so David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, which now how many of y'all know about the Ark of the Covenant, right? The Ark of the Covenant is where the Ten Commandments, the showbread, and other stuff was and Aaron's rod was all kept in there. And what the Ark of the Covenant is an Old Testament foreshadowing of the new type to come in Christ, which is you. So you carry the presence of God. Because remember, the Ark of the Covenant, it was a representation of the presence of God. So you carry that by having the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You carry the very presence of God, right?
That's right.
Yeah, glory to God. Somebody shout. Somebody ought to shout to that. That's what I want to hear. All right, so Uzzah was standing, so the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into Jerusalem, and on its way, the oxen stumbled, and a guy named Uzzah put his hand out to keep the ark from falling on the ground, and he got judged immediately, and he fell down dead. And so David, the Bible says that David became afraid of the Lord, okay? So what they did was they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in a guy's name. His name was Obed-Edom. They put it in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the Bible says that as long as the Ark, the presence of God, which you have inside of you, as long as the Ark was in Obed-Edom's house, his entire household prospered. His plants grew, his children flourished, everything he set his hand to prospered. Y'all, the same presence of God that was in that Ark of the Covenant is in you.
Amen.
So everything that you do, yeah, amen. Everything that you do should prosper. And if it's not, there's probably only two reasons that it's not. You're under attack of the enemy and he's trying to prevent the blessing from coming to you. Or you don't believe it. Because you'll have from God what you believe him for. Nothing more and nothing less. So just remember that as we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and we're going through these lessons, you need to be constantly inside-minded about what God has done inside of you and who is inside of you. I heard Kenneth Hagin say one time, you know, if the body of Christ would just become more inside-minded, we would be much more successful in life. And really, that's what it is. And hey, listen. You know, I've been a pastor for years and have been in ministry for years and I have struggled and fought the fight and battled and not seen things happen the way I expected them to. But you know what? I have found those times where the pressure on the outside gets greater than the pressure on the inside is because I'm not focused on the inside. I'm focused on the outside. The greater one lives inside of you. The greater one lives inside of you. So what's that make you? Amen? He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. All right, let's get started here on lesson 4. That's page 8 at the top of the page there. New covenant manifestations. Boldness, letter A there. Another manifestation of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, one that is often overlooked, is a supernatural boldness. We have an Old Testament example as well. Remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Holy Spirit that is at work in you today was at work in certain people thousands of years ago. And that's something we need to remember. Any example you see in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit at work, either in King David, in prophetic words, in signs and wonders and miracles, Elijah and Elijah, you know, the great prophets, when they did these signs and wonders and miracles, that Holy Spirit that was working through them is at work in you today. It's exactly the same Holy Spirit. He hasn't changed. He's just more omnipresent now and in all of us. And the Holy Spirit wants to move through you. His desire, I know probably some of you have prayed, because I have prayed this way. Some of you have prayed that God manifest miracles through me. Lord, I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see the blind eyes open. Lord, I declare blind eyes opening when I touch them. I declare deaf ears opening when I've prayed that way. Have you all prayed that way? Okay, we've prayed that way. The Holy Spirit wants to do that stuff through you more than you want to get it done. His desire is to be a blessing to people. He has a stronger desire to bless people than even you do. Amen? Okay. In 1 Samuel, this is number one there. In 1 Samuel 10, the Bible tells the story of Samuel anointing Saul to be king over Israel. And Samuel prophesies what will happen to Saul after he leaves Samuel. Samuel tells Saul, after he anoints him with oil, a representation of the Holy Spirit, that you will prophesy and be turned into another man. Representative, I lost my place there because I messed with my tablet. Okay. In 1 Samuel 10, 5 and 6, here's what the Bible says. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instrument and a tambourine, a flute and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. So I want to reiterate this. I said this last time I taught. You know, a lot of times people will use the cloak of the Holy Spirit to get weird, right? Have you met Sister Susie at church who's just like, you can't even talk to her because, you know, everything is like so spiritual and weird? Come on, is it just in my church that I had people like that? So, you know, listen, God uses personalities, right? And he uses your personality. But that doesn't mean that gives you license to just be really weird and, like, you know, cut all of the restraints off and just act like totally weird and blame it on the Holy Ghost. Because you know, the Holy Ghost doesn't act that way. And I understand the Holy Ghost uses your personality. He uses my personality. And I have some quirks and I do some weird stuff and I've stomped on people's feet before to get them healed, right? And so, you know, I mean, honestly, the Holy Spirit will do unusual thing. I did. I actually was praying for one of our elders at our church, and I just sensed the Holy Ghost say, he was having a problem with his foot, so I sensed the Holy Ghost say, stomp on his foot. So, yeah, he went ouch when I stomped on his foot. So I get it. I get it. You know, the Holy Ghost may prompt you to do some unusual things, but he doesn't prompt you on a continual basis to be weird. Okay? So just because the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you can be normal and still get people healed normally. You can prophesy and be normal. You know, God uses your personality. And, you know, really, when it comes to ministry outside of the four walls of the church or outside of you know, Bible school here or outside of other believers, when it comes to ministry in the Holy Spirit, people don't understand you if you act weird. Do you understand what I'm saying? And a lot of times that will give Christians a bad name because they're acting so weird. Man, I've prophesied over unbelievers. I have stopped people I've stopped a woman in a grocery store. I remember the Lord spoke to me as I was pulling into a grocery store. He says, listen, there's a woman with cancer in there. I'll let you know who she is. I want you to go to her and prophesy over her that I have healed her from cancer. So I'm walking down the aisles looking. I forgot about my shopping thing, what I was going to get at the grocery store. I got a word from the Lord, right? I don't need to shop. I got a word from the Lord. So I'm walking down the aisles. You know, I'm going real slow, and I'm looking down the aisle. I'm looking. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Lord, you know, when you're listening to the voice of the Lord, right, you're listening. Come on, Lord, talk to me. And so I see a lady back in the, standing in front of the eggs. I walked up to her, and I said, ma'am. She said, yes. I said, can I speak to you? She was an elderly lady. I said, can I speak with you for a minute? She said, yes. I said, the Lord told me to tell you that you are healed from your cancer. And she looked at me just like, and I turned around and walked away. I wasn't told to pray for her. I didn't feel like she would, I felt maybe she would be uncomfortable if I asked to pray for her. But she got a word from the Lord. Right? And it was totally normal. I was just like I was having a normal conversation to her. I didn't like lift off the ground three inches and float and like the Lord says. You know, I just was normal. And when you're normal, you know, especially to the unbeliever, when you're normal, they hear from God. They can hear from God. Okay, let's keep going here. We see in the Old Testament, the one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit working through someone is supernatural boldness or being turned into another man. But there are also clear examples in the New Covenant. In Acts 2, 14 through 39, we read the account of the Apostle Peter after he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how he stood in the midst of thousands of people and preached a powerful sermon about Jesus being the Christ, in which 3,000 people got born again. This is the same man who just 43 days earlier denied Jesus three times, and one of those times was to an unintimidating servant girl. After he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, supernatural ability came over him, a supernatural boldness enough to turn him into another man. This is, my testimony is, I was born again when I was 17 years old, back in 1980. I had just finished high school. And I was going to aviation maintenance school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I lived in Michigan, went to school in Michigan, you know, graduated from high school, moved down to Oklahoma to go to aviation maintenance school. One of my instructors prayed with me to receive the Lord. Wasn't until 1993 that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But during that window of time, even though I was born again, I mean, well, barely born again, if there is such a thing as being barely born again, I wasn't walking in any of the promises of God, that's for sure. But I can recall being so intimidated by people and having such a low self-esteem of myself. I would go to a grocery store and nearly shaking my boots as I was standing in line waiting to check out, afraid that somebody would talk to me. Hard to believe, isn't it? But then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, so... And after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I mean, probably it was within a month after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I used to work for Northwest Airlines as an aircraft mechanic in a shop with about three or four other believers and about 30 unbelievers. And I remember standing on one of the workbenches, pointing my finger at a crowd of those unbelievers and saying, don't you feel the fire lapping at the heels of your feet? All of you are going to hell, and you better give your life to Jesus or you will end up in hell. Standing on a workbench, preaching from a guy who was afraid to stand in a grocery store line. That is supernatural. I'm telling you, that is supernatural boldness. And you know, that boldness too, this supernatural boldness that the Holy Spirit brings, it can be progressive. It's not necessarily overnight like it was with the Apostle Peter or like it was with me. Sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, my boldness has progressed as I've gotten more mature in the Lord. Because what happens is it goes back to what I said earlier about being inside-minded. The more inside-minded you are, the more boldness you will manifest. The more, and when I say inside-minded, I mean my affections, my focus is on the Lord. But the Lord is here, right? And the Holy Ghost is here. So, and remember, you know, that Peter's, and in my case as well, that boldness came after being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That boldness comes with the Holy Ghost. So let's go to page 9. In Acts 4, there is another example of supernatural boldness coming over believers when Holy Spirit is in manifestation. Acts chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. For truly, against your servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So there's an example there for us, is that you can pray for boldness. It's okay to pray for more boldness. And you know, there's a lot of different people that, you know, that say, you know, you get all the Holy, and I believe that, you get all the Holy Spirit that you get when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you can, the Bible talks about stirring up that gift that is inside of us. Prayer helps stir up that gift that is inside of you. Prayer helps stir up that boldness, that supernatural boldness that each and every one of us has. You have that boldness inside of you, and you need to get that, you need to get that boldness stirred up. And the thing about boldness is, I'll say it again, the thing about boldness is you have to be more inside-minded than you. You have to be more conscious of the power that is inside of you than of the mountain that's in front of you. Amen. You know, I don't care what that mountain is. It could be a financial deficit that you're in. It could be a healing that you need for a loved one. It could be a healing that you need for your children. I I've got three kids. They're grown now. They're in their 20s and 30s. But I can remember when I was going to school here back in 1997, 98, 99, I could remember, you know, my kids were little then, and them getting sick, and I mean, it took all my faith that I could muster up to manifest healing in them. And I would rather be sick than my kids be sick. Because when your kids get sick, you just feel helpless. When you get sick, you know, you can persevere. You feel like you can persevere, right? And if you don't get that manifestation right away, then, you know, it's okay. I'll get it eventually. But when your kid's got 102 degree or 103 degree fever and they're crying in pain, man, you need a manifestation right now. I don't need a manifestation 2 hours from now. I need the manifestation now, Lord. Amen. And so the only thing that's stopping that manifestation from coming is you. So what has to happen is you have to recognize that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, and he who is in me is bigger than any mountain or adversity that I may face. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. The Bible says that this is that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith overcomes this world. And the Holy Ghost is going to help coach you through to get you to a place. Here's one thing I can tell you after 28 years of walking this life out, that I walk in way more faith now than I did before, and I thought I was walking in faith before. And if you just keep connected to the Lord, you keep praying in the Holy Ghost, He's going to get you to the place where you need to be with very, really seriously, with very little effort on your behalf. Amen. Now, the only thing may be, you may see your destination as a straight line from here to, say, that camera boom. But the Lord takes you over here first to this Christmas tree to take a look at it for a little bit. And then He'll stop you here and you'll look at the drums. And then He'll bring you over here to this speaker. And then He'll bring you back to the podium over here for a little while. And then finally, you end up at your destination, right? All of these were learning experiences on your way. And all of those things, if you stay connected to the Lord, if you keep your relationship with God, you know, just somewhat alive, the Lord will mature you and He will take you to the place where He's called you to be. And it will happen. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I'm standing right now where I'm at and how this all happened. You know, and looking back now, standing here before you today, looking back over 27, 28 years of ministry, all of the experiences that I went through, all of the people that I have met, all of the heartbreak and the victories, all of those things make up who I am. And the Holy Spirit's fingerprint is on every single one of them. And so now today, I have something to give to you. Or He has something for me to give to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't, you know, the Bible says that we're not supposed to despise small beginnings. Each and every one of us, everybody in this room is called to a ministry. You may not be called to pulpit ministry, but you are called to a ministry. You're called to minister to your family. You may be, you know, your whole life may be only, all the experiences in your life may be geared and focused maybe towards one person. Maybe there's a person that you work with that you're going to be ministering to that is going to be the next Billy Graham. Amen. That's good. You don't know that. And your whole life was put together. Your whole life, God gave you all these experiences so you could just minister to this one person. And is that not enough? That's enough, right? Because you've done what God has called you to do. It may be just to minister to your children, your young children. Because maybe one of them is going to be the next Andrew Womack. You don't know. Amen. Okay, let's go to the place in the block there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. One important sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is this supernatural boldness that we see illustrated in the scriptures. And I'll say this. There's been plenty of times that, you know, the Lord has spoken to me about witnessing to somebody that I don't know. And you need the supernatural boldness of the Holy Ghost in order to do that. Because you will, listen, y'all, if you're preaching the gospel, if you're giving the word of God to people, you will receive rejection. It's just going to happen. I'll tell you, there was early on back before I came here to Bible school, I was living in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we went into down. I had a team. There was about six of us, I think, two teams of three. We went down into downtown Minneapolis to hand out tracts and just witness to people, right? And so it was myself and these two ladies, and I was responsible for them. I was kind of leading my team. And we walked up outside of this biker bar in downtown Minneapolis to talk to these two guys. You know, obviously we're bikers. Well, the one dude started growling like an animal. I was like, okay, come on, girls, let's go. I mean, you know, I don't want to put anybody in a situation like that. These dudes were obviously hostile and did not want to hear the gospel. And they were angry and obviously agitated by it, right? So you need, in that situation, you need to have boldness. I mean, we turned around, we said, sorry, guys, that's okay. You know, I apologized and we walked away. But you know what? You need to have boldness in a situation like that because you're going to get resistance. And the Holy Ghost is your boldness. And he will give you boldness. And, you know, there's times, and we can see it in the book of Acts, where the Holy Ghost forbid the Apostle Paul to go into Asia Minor, right? Forbid him. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will say to you, don't witness to that person. Now, see, there's a balance there, right? You got to be careful that you're not using the Holy Ghost told me not to witness to that person as an excuse not to witness. You're tracking with me. So there's that balance. You know in your heart, I'm actually speaking to the hybrid class tomorrow, the live Saturday hybrid, and I'm going to be speaking on hearing the voice of God, how to hear the voice of God, how to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. And you know when the Holy Spirit is talking to you, there's an inner witness. You know. You know that this is right. I'm supposed to tie into this. I'm supposed to do this. Or you know, man, I'm supposed to back off of this. Y'all have felt that. Some people, you know, some people call it intuition. Oh, I know I shouldn't have done that, or I should have turned this way. You know, you can call it whatever you want. But for a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-believing believer, you need to train your heart to hear that and to know that, because that's the Holy Ghost talking to you, right? Okay, let's keep going. Power, another manifestation we see in the Scriptures is the supernatural power of God being manifested. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8, after he had resurrected, but before the day of Pentecost, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But you shall receive, it's not just talking in tongues. You shall receive power. It's miracle working power. It's backs being healed. It's blind eyes being opened. It's deaf ears being opened. It's cancer being healed. It's power. It's power. Amen? We see in Acts chapter 4 the Holy Spirit empowering the disciples with supernatural boldness and power to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus. These two aspects of being filled with the Holy Spirit are essential for all believers to accomplish the ministry which God has called them to. Let me just read through these couple of scriptures here, and then I'll talk a little bit about it. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 4, 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let me read this down below there. You can see from these scriptures that when the Holy Spirit came upon someone, boldness and power manifestations are something that should be expected. We see time after time, boldness and power are common manifestations when the Holy Spirit is at work. And I'll say this, you know, preaching and teaching like I'm doing, you know, this morning up here, those are important. I mean, without the Word of God, you wouldn't have been able to get born again, right? So that's important. The Word of God is paramount. It is the most important. But Jesus spoke the Word of God, but he used miracles to get people to listen. You remember what he said? He said, don't believe me just for the words that I say, but believe me for the very works that I do. See, we as believers are not supposed to just be talkers. We're supposed to, as a believer, baptized in the Holy Ghost, we are supposed to back up the words that we say with a power encounter to the person you're speaking to. Now, I've did a lot of ministry outside of the church, like, because I've, even though I pastored for years and I've always been in ministry, you know, I was associate pastor, I was a children's pastor, I was a deacon. I was an elder. I was on the boards. You know, I did everything in the local church. I was always connected to the local church. Still am today. I go to Pastor Rick McFarland's church. I'm always connected to the local church. My heart is for the local church. I was a senior pastor. I planted a church. I was a senior pastor for 7 years. But in all of that, this last year, this is the honest truth. I started here with Andrew Womack Ministries, Karis Bible College, like a year and a half ago, okay? Back September, not last September, September before last. Up until then, up until I came to work here a year and a half ago, I always was bivocational. I had a construction company and I pastored a church or associate pastor or children's pastor or whatever I was doing. So I was always, because it was a secular, you know, it was a Christian business because it was mine and I treated it as a Christian business, but I was out in the secular world with unbelievers and in unbelievers' houses, because it was a construction company, in unbelievers' houses all the time. And I had some of the greatest ministry to unbelievers. And honestly, it's easier to get an unbeliever healed than it is to get a person who's been in church for 20 years healed. That's because people just get so much junk. Christians, they get so much junk, so much unbelief poured in on them, and a lot of times we get inoculated from the truth. You know, here's an interesting thing with my children, because I sensed that I was inoculating my children to the truth when it comes to healing and that kind of stuff. So I got to the point, especially when my kids got of age, like in their early teens, 12, 13, 14 years old, I'd never ask my kids to pray for them. If you wanted healing, you come to your dad and ask him to pray for you. Otherwise, I'm not going to say, you want me to pray for you? How many times did Jesus, very few times did Jesus come up to people and pray for them just randomly? They had to come to him. They had to take their faith, an act of their faith, and come to him, and then he would pray for them and get a manifestation of healing in them. There's only one I can think of right now off the top of my head, and that's the Pool of Bethesda where Jesus went to, or I can't remember if it was a pool, it may have been the Pool of Shalom, where Jesus went up to the man who was on a stretcher, and he was waiting for the angel to stir the water so that he could climb in there and get healed. That's the only time Jesus actually went up to somebody that I can recall. I'm sure there may be a couple others that I'm not remembering. But most of the time, when people got healed, they came to Jesus. Or their friends brought them to Jesus. So when you're out in a situation where you are speaking with people who don't believe, come on, the power encounter, somebody having a power encounter with the Lord, how loudly does that speak? Because they've probably, you know, most people in America have heard somebody tell them that Jesus is the Savior. I mean, come on, it's Christmas time, right? I mean, you hear it on the radio. People love Christmas music. Oh, the first Noel, right? They love all that stuff. Even unbelievers. People who know Jesus, they love all that Christmas stuff. They've heard about Jesus. They've just never had a power encounter. So you are the very power encounter that they're going to be able to receive from. Amen? All right. A power encounter is the dinner bell for the gospel. A miracle, you pray for somebody to receive their sight and they receive it. You pray for somebody for their one leg to grow out longer than the other, to get normal to the other one. Man, you're going to be able to preach to them. And they're going to hear you. So, I don't know if I told you guys, did I tell you this story about the blind guy that I spit on the ground? Yeah. I told you about that story. Okay, you know what, that guy, after he had that power encounter with the Lord, he got born again. And you know what? He wanted me to go pray with all of his friends. Because he had just met the Lord through a power encounter. We carry if you have the Holy Ghost in you and upon you, you carry the very power of God. The very miracle working power. Listen, I think we talked earlier in this lesson about Jesus. He didn't do a single miracle until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Contrary to what some traditions say, some religious traditions say that Jesus healed birds and cats and dogs and that kind of stuff. That's not in the Bible. Jesus did not do a single miracle until he was baptized in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came out, and then Jesus started his miracle-working ministry. And Jesus, you have to remember in your mind, it's hard sometimes to delineate between the two. Jesus was fully God and fully man. Fully God and fully man. But, we had this in our last couple of lessons, but he laid down his divinity. He laid down, for him to be on this earth, he laid down all of his divinity and he only worked out of his humanity being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just like you. Everybody in this room, as he is, so are we in this world. You are baptized in the Holy Ghost, so that means you have the very same power that Jesus operated in when he had blood in his veins and he was here on this earth. You know, he still has a body today, right? He still has a body. He still has bone, flesh. He just doesn't have blood in his veins. He left that for us. Amen. That's good. Yeah, I know that's... Man, if I just closed my Bible and we walked away right now, that'd be worth coming this morning. So when he was here on this earth in his humanity, he was at the same disadvantage that you're at right now. He had the same disadvantage of being a human being who had to trust in the Father and who had to believe that he was who the Father said he was. Just like you, y'all, come on. You got to believe that you are just who Jesus says you are. And when you fully believe that, you will see the manifestation of God's power effortlessly flow from your hands. You'll say the word and they will be healed. And hey, listen, please, no condemnation, because I'm not there yet either. I told you, I'm one day closer than I was yesterday. Amen? And if you stay connected in, and if you continue to pursue, tomorrow you'll be that one day closer than you were today. And the next day you'll be one day closer. And one day you'll wake up in glory. Amen. And you'll throw your crown down before the Lord and you'll say to him, Lord, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your ministry. And he'll say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay, let's go. Let's get started. We got about 10 minutes here. Let's get started on lesson 5. We're making up a little bit of time. That's good. Ministry of the Holy Spirit, initial manifestations of baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start there at the top of the page where it says tongues on page 10. There is much controversy over tongues, but with some quick and honest investigation into the scriptures, we can see that speaking and praying in an unknown tongue is for us today. Not only is it for us today, but is one of the most effective tools along with the scriptures for spiritual growth. It appears from the scriptures that speaking in tongues is one of the initial signs of someone being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just say before I move on to that Acts chapter 4 scripture there, when it comes to praying in tongues in the scriptures, I believe you can get a tremendous amount of revelation by reading the scriptures and praying in the Spirit over the scriptures. Like, for instance, the way I study my Bible, and I've done this for, 25 years. The way I study the Bible is I will spend, and my prayer life, I pray every day for pretty much every day for pretty, extended periods of time. I leave a large window of time every morning for myself. I can live on small amounts of sleep, and I don't mind getting up really, really, really early before the sun comes up. So I leave myself a window of time every morning to spend time with the Lord. That's just the way I've done it. Maybe you're a night person. There's no formula, right? So maybe you're a night person. You're best doing it at night. I'm not. I'm in bed at 9 o'clock, okay? So I'm up early in the morning. But typically the way I study the scriptures and incorporate studying the scriptures and prayer and praying in the Holy Ghost, if I pray for a half an hour, probably only 5 minutes of that half an hour are going to be in English. The other 25 minutes are going to be praying in tongues. And so what I will do is, a typical devotional session for me is praying a period of time in English and in the Holy Ghost, primarily the Holy Ghost, and then sitting down with my Bible and slowly reading through scriptures. Or if I'm studying a topic, I'll begin to study the scriptures on that topic. And what that does is that stirs up that anointing that's inside of you. If there's a scripture, I've had scriptures that I've come across in my reading time, and it's like, God, I know you got something, and probably a lot of you have experienced this. God, I know you got something here, right here for me. I'm not seeing it. Help me understand it, Lord. So then what I'll do is, I'll just keep that scripture that I'm confused on, or I know there's more in there, or I know it's applicable to the message that I'm going to be teaching. So I need to find that nugget. Y'all know what I mean, right? It's like mining for gold. I know there's a chunk of gold in there. I'm just not seeing it. Well, the Holy Ghost is your teacher. The Holy Ghost is your counselor. The Holy Ghost is going to bring revelation to you. So the Bible says that building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Apostle Paul told that to Timothy. So you got to stir that up. And what that will do is it will birth revelation in your heart. And sometimes it may be, you don't get that revelation until you pray on this thing. You got to be careful. You don't get frustrated. As you know, it's in there. You don't get it right away. And so you get frustrated, walk away frustrated. You can't do that. You say, Lord, I'm not seeing it right now, but you're going to show it to me. It's called faith. Lord, you're going to show it to me. And so, you'll go to bed 2 days later and you'll just lay off. You'll be drifting off to sleep. And suddenly he just drops it down. And you're like, oh yeah, now that's good. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Or Andrew's up here. Yeah, amen. Amen. Or Andrew's up here teaching, or I'm up here teaching, or Pastor Rick's up here teaching. And suddenly it's like, how did I miss that? How could I have not seen that? And so you're like, oh yeah, I got it now. Okay. So you know what that was? The baby was born then, but conception happened 2 or 3 days earlier when you were praying in the Holy Ghost. Right? You understand? It just took a while for that thing to grow, for it to drift out of your innermost being, and for it to come up to where your natural mind, your conscious mind, could lay hold of it. Amen? Okay, let's keep going there. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So we can see from here, the scripture here, they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus. So they were believers, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. So this brings up, I hate to even tread out, and I got 3 minutes left. So this, I'll be saved by the bell if this goes where I don't want it to go. So that brings up the thought of, well, if they received the Holy Spirit, well, then what happened to them when they got born again? Well, it's quiet in here, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, really seriously, you know, not everything. Maybe that's something you need to pray in tongues over. You know, because if you look at it, it shows it clearly as a completely different thing that happened. They got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They believed on Jesus. They were baptized in water. But yet it was weeks, or we don't really know exactly how much time later, that they really got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So if they got the Holy Spirit then, what did they get prior to? I'm not going to answer that question for you. I'm going to let you figure that out. I got a scripture I could tell you right now, but then I'd be doing all your studying for you. So you need to look into that, because that's something to think about. Okay, let me keep going here. Again, we see that being born again, this is under B there. Again, we see that being born again and being baptized in the Holy Spirit are two different and distinct experiences. These scriptures say that Samaria had received the word of God concerning Jesus, but Jesus being the Christ, and had also been baptized in water. It wasn't until Peter and John came to them and laid hands on them did they receive the fullness of the Spirit. And you may want to remember that last sentence on that right there, because you may see that again. They laid hands on them, did they receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." So the question is this, small letter A there. What did Simon see? What initial power manifestation did he see that affected him to a degree that he was willing to give money to get it? He saw them speaking in tongues. And here, you know, I've seen this abused in the church. I mean, it just be careful, y'all, that you don't use your prayer language as a sign of your spirituality. Honestly, when I'm a very private person when it comes to prayer. My wife very rarely sees me praying in the Holy Spirit, unless we're praying together as a team. But when I go into my prayer closet, I do what the Bible says. I shut my door, and I'm in there alone. And the same thing with my kids. I consider it a holy time. It's a time that I'm spending with the creator of the universe, my Father. And I look at it as a deeply intimate time. And so I'll pray sometimes, just to give you examples, I'll pray in tongues, but that's not my typical MO. You're looking into a part of me that I don't show very many people, because it's holy to me, it's sacred to me. Amen. And we need to look at it that way, and not use it as some kind of sign that we're a spiritual person. Amen. That cheapens it, as far as I'm concerned. All right, take a 10-minute break.